If I were asked what I thought to be the most beautiful season of the year, most likely I would say autumn. If I were to be asked why, I would probably give a variety of answers, and the first and foremost would be that the weather cools off. You all know me, that I'm a hot-natured person and have a fan blowing on me most of the time. And it's comfortable to me when the temperatures get down about 60. I enjoy it. But there are other reasons as well, besides the clear, crisp weather. Birds gathering to leave for the winter. The leaves of the trees changing, and the colors are becoming a little brighter and a little bolder each day. You know, there are a lot of people that look forward to the leaves changing, the time when they might drive over to the mountains, drive on the parkway, and see the leaves changing. And there are those who capitalize on this as they do things, advertise and that sort of thing, and entice people to come to the mountains during this time of year. If I were pressed to point out what the major reason for my feeling this way, I would probably say it was the turning of the leaves. To me, it is absolutely breathtakingly beautiful to see the leaves change, the color coming into the trees. And of course, we know that that is all because of the way God designed things. In our lesson tonight, I would like for us to briefly consider the autumn leaves and what they say to us. Our text this evening is Isaiah chapter 64, verses 5 through 7. I think it should be evident that everywhere we look, there's a sermon. The more I do this, the more I find in common everyday occurrences ideas for sermons. Somebody says something, I might jot it down. I see something, I might jot it down, and it might cause me to think of what might be used. The things that God has provided for us in nature, for instance, that we might be using them for a sermon. The beauty of the things given to us by God. I am sure because of the words of Isaiah in our text, we can find a lesson worth learning in the autumn leaves. Listen to what he says. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, in whose continuance we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that we chose that particular passage because it says, for we all do fade as a leaf. In school, we learned that what happens is the leaves on the trees no longer receive the proper nutrients and what it is that takes for them to remain green, and they begin to age. And as they no longer have the nutrients that they need, technically, the leaves are dying before they fall. And there are numerous things in this text which we could study, but I simply want to draw a lesson from the portion that says, and we do all fade as a leaf. One of the pleasant things about autumn to me is the fact that summer is past. Now, I've already mentioned the fact that I'm a very warm person, and when summer is ongoing, and when the temperatures are in the 90s and the 100s, I'm a miserable person. I will seek air conditioning in a hurry. But as we contemplate autumn, we need to remember more so that autumn is past, or that summer is past, to see what is becoming. I doubt seriously if any of us can face the hills that surround us without realizing that the summer of 2013 has come to a close. In fact, someone even commented this morning, because the temperatures were a little lower than usual, that maybe we skipped over fall and winter is already here. Linda and I often go into the lower mountains when it's evident that the leaves are already starting to turn to enjoy the beauty of the season. But there is a by far greater lesson to be learned than that, that summer is gone, or that the beauty is in the trees. The turning of the leaves should cause us to realize the possibility that the summer of many of our lives is past. That we're drawing near to the end of our lives. That's not being morbid. We all have a span of time that we will be here. We do not know how long it will be. But if we were to assign to our life seasons, we would possibly do it as the seasons are. Spring would equal birth. What happens in the spring? The buds come forth on the flowers and the trees, and the weeds grow. I would have said grass, but I'm fighting that battle now. Summer, we would consider that to be our youth. The kids somehow come up with all kind of energy throughout the summer. They can run and play all day long. It's interesting to me how that when they go back to school, that's when they're tired. But in the summertime, they're all over the place. So the summer would equal our youth. Autumn or fall would be our adulthood or our maturity. And of course, then winter would equate to death. The words of Jeremiah to an unrepentant Israel should cause each of us to be aware of the seriousness of summer coming to an end. In Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20, he's writing to this unrepentant people. These people who had refused to listen to what God had said to do. These people who had heard the word of God, who had the privilege of being the chosen of God. These people who had been given God's law, who had been told how they might benefit, even while here on the earth, by following that law. Jeremiah 8:20 says, "The harvest is past and summer is ended, and we are not saved." That says a lot. Tonight, within the sound of my voice, there may be those whose summer is past and who are not saved. Again, I would think that the words of Jeremiah would cause each of us to carefully weigh our relationship with God, particularly this last phrase, "and we are not saved." It is a fact that we will go through the seasons of life. It is a fact that at some point we will be like the trees, in which we will lose our foliage. I'm working on that as well. For those of you who haven't gotten that, I'm talking about my hair. But we needn't approach the winter of our life such as Jeremiah described of Israel, and we are not saved. It is also important for us to realize and understand when the summer is over, we cannot bring it back. And as some of you found it quite amusing that I'm talking about foliage, we had a doctor friend. He lived to be 87 years old. He practiced his craft until he died, until just a few months before he died. And he told me, as he noticed my thinning hair, that perhaps something could be done about that. I said to him, "Physician, heal thyself," because he had a lot less than I did. We need to understand that when things go, we can't necessarily get them back. When the summer is over, it is gone. When time passes, it is gone. We often look back in our lives and say, "I wish I would have done such and such back then. If I would have known how things would have turned out, I might would have perhaps applied myself a little more in school. I might would have taken different jobs. I might would have moved to different locations. I might would have done many different things had I been able to go back and redo it." All things considered, looking at my present situation, I don't know that I'd want to change a whole lot because I don't know where I'd end up. But the autumn leaves cause us all to realize also that the days are becoming shorter. I think in the next few weeks we have this thing called daylight savings time. It is the bane of my existence because we have 200 clocks. No, I'm just exaggerating. We have a lot of clocks in our house, and I spend that Saturday evening running around changing clocks. And it's a marathon, going around trying to get them all changed so I get them all on the right time. But it never works out that way. But the days are becoming shorter as we approach the autumn of our lives. We need to understand that time is getting shorter. As the days draw shorter for each of us, there is something that draws shorter much faster. And that is life. You know, regardless of where we stand in our present life, we look back and we say, we don't know how much longer we've got to live. Next week, on the Lord's Day, Linda and I will celebrate our 35th anniversary. That shouldn't be a surprise to you here because it's in the bulletin. People ask me how long I've been married. I say, half my life. That's not entirely true, but I'm halfway there. I hope to be married 70 years. That'd be great. But the truth of the matter is, we don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know how long that we're going to exist on this earth. In fact, James deals with this in James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, and does so very well. He warns those who have made these grandiose plans. What do these folks say? Well, I'm going to go into a city. I'm going to set up my little marketplace. I'm going to buy and sell. I'm going to get gain. I'm going to get rich. What do he say? Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go to such a city, and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away. All too often, this passage is used when a young child or an infant dies. The truth of the matter is, if somebody lives to be 80, 90, 100, it's the same thing. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. I am certain that God had that placed in there just as he did, so that regardless of the span of time that we are granted here on this earth, we need to look at it as it is a little time. Many congregations sing the song, "As the Life of a Flower." I think we're trying to learn it. It's one that Philip brought to our attention. But how often when we sing that song do we realize what we're singing? I meant to open the songbook and read some of the words of the song. And interestingly enough, I happened to find it. As the life of a flower, as a breath or a sigh, so the years that we live, as a dream hasten by. True, today we are here, but tomorrow may see just a grave in the veil. In a memory of me. Friends, when life is over, sometimes all that's left is a grave and a marker. As the life of a flower be our lives pure and sweet, may we brighten the way for the friends that we greet. And sweet incense arise from our hearts as we live, close to him who doth teach us to love and forgive. But I think the third verse says the most. While we tarry below, let us trust and adore him who leads us each day toward that radiant shore, where the sun never sets and the flowers never fade, where no sorrow or death may its borders invade. And most pressing of all is the last line of the chorus that says, "And alas, we must die." Job, in Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, carried that sentiment in his words. The words that were given to him. He says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." In other words, here on the earth, you have a short period of time. This is also concluded in Psalms, the 103rd division, verses 15 and 16. As the psalmist writes, he says, "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. We need to understand that while we spend this short period of time here on the earth, we have responsibilities. The autumn leaf should cause each of us to see that as the life is a flower, as the breath of a sigh, so the years that we live as the dream hastened by. It's passing on, friends. It's passing on as we gather here today. As each day draws a minute or two shorter, our lives are coming to an end in leaps and bounds. Stop and think. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young, but look back at your life and realize how fast it's gone. As a young man, as a young boy, I could not wait to get to be 16 years old. It's never going to happen. I'm getting old waiting. Finally, I got to be 16. And then a few hours later, I turned around and I'm 50. Time flies. I must have been having fun. The autumn leaves should cause us to realize that night is coming. You know, although night concludes every day of every year, autumn leaves ought to cause us to see that our night is coming closer. It is coming. But the night that we need to be concerned with is the one in which Jesus spoke of in John chapter 9 and verse 4. He knew that he had a limited amount of time. The creator of time had a limited amount of time here on the earth. He says, "For the night, or I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." We need to only briefly examine this passage to realize and see that Jesus speaks of his coming death. He knew why he came. He knew that after he came and died on the cross, that the work that he was able to physically do while here on the earth was over. As the leaf serves as a means for making shade in the summer, one night, once night has come, it is no longer able to do so. Same thing with the days. Once they pass, they're gone. Once night or death has come to us, we will no longer be able to do what we should have done while we're here on the earth. Should have, could have, would have. That's going to be the thought on many, many people's minds as they're escorted into torment. I wish that I had done what I was supposed to do while I was here on the earth. Whether these works in reference to obedience to the gospel or obedience to the plan for the Christian, the autumn leaves should also suggest that we make preparation for winter. There is a sad, sad truth that each and every one of us will face. It is the fact that we'll die. Now, it's not sad for us, because if we've been obedient and we are children of God and we are faithful in our service to God, we look forward to it. But somebody will be sad. I don't know how many people that I've heard make the statement, "Why, nobody will care when I die." I've heard people make that statement and then make my way to the funeral home to visit the family. I don't get any thrill out of viewing the dead body. But visiting the family and expressing my sense of loss to see people outside the building, the lines going around the building, to see that so many people were influenced by that life while they were here. Each of us needs to understand that as autumn begins and draws to a conclusion, winter is about to begin. We need to make preparations, and we need to do it now. Since we've seen that night is death, then winter can also suggest the judgment. I would hope that all of us here realize the importance of preparing for the judgment. There are no do-overs. You can't go back and take another shot at it. However, since some have not obeyed the gospel, it is evident that not all have realized how important that it really is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, we'll see words that were provided for the Corinthian brethren so that they might see the urgency of obeying the gospel, of doing so before time has run out. The Apostle Paul, in writing to these brethren, said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Notice, and it is imperative that we understand, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. When you stand before the judgment bar of God, listen, you will not be held responsible for other people's sins. You will, however, be held responsible for yours. And there is no opportunity whatsoever to go back and do it again. He says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." That's why we try to persuade people, because there are no do-overs. Yes, autumn is upon us, and it's beautiful. Some people think that winter is beautiful, but when looked at and compared to our lives, it can be. But it can also be terribly devastating. I hope that the story of the autumn leaf will cause us to see our need to obey the Lord. Notice that I did not say that will help us to see our need to obey the gospel, because that is included in that. It is absolutely necessary that folks hear the word of God, that they understand the things that they must do in order to be obedient unto him. But we must continue to be obedient. As we prepare for the winter months ahead, we need to be more concerned with the judgment ahead. Remember, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And it does not matter if you're in the summer, if you're in the fall, or if you're in the winter of your life. As long as you have not crossed from this plane to the next, there's time. All the beauties of spring cannot but help to portray the beauties of heaven, our eternal home. We know the seasons, how do they go? We have spring and we have everything growing. But after that, we have the summer. Then we have the autumn and the leaves changing. And then we have winter and things die. But then there's a new birth. Heaven, an eternal home. But we have to make preparation for it here and now. Are you willing to do that? The gospel plan of salvation is relatively simple. I still struggle with the fact that so many people find it hard to participate in, to let go of the world, and to be obedient. It tells us that according to Acts chapter 10 and verse 33 that we are to hear the word. It was said to Peter, "Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." What was Peter going to preach to Cornelius and his brethren? The word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 24 that we have to believe. "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, as Peter and the 11 gathered there and preached the first gospel sermon in New Testament times, or the opening of the doors of the kingdom, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." He did so in response to the question that was asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, we see that we are to confess. We are to confess Jesus. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And then we are to be baptized. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And then we are to live faithfully until death. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 tells us without a doubt the condition of one who does not remain faithful. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Perhaps tonight you've not obeyed the gospel. Don't leave the building tonight without doing so. Don't leave this life without doing so. Perhaps you have obeyed the gospel, but for whatever reason you've not been faithful. Friends, you cannot take a chance on going to the judgment and not being ready. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, those who are children of God who have allowed sin to come between them and God are told exactly what to do. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Think about the leaves. Think about the autumn. And think about what comes next. If you need to respond, won't you do so as together we stand and sing the invitation song.